And in Isaiah 40, chapter 28, chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. But before we go further, let's bow in prayer. Father, we know that You're sitting on the throne and You're still governing. You're still in charge. You're still the omnipotent, sovereign controller of all things. Even when it sometimes doesn't seem like it, whether it be in our lives, our nation, or our world, You are in charge. And the One in charge loves us and cares about us. That just amazes my heart. But Father, we want to thank You for that. We want to pray that You would continue to move in our lives and in our families and in our nation, in America. Lord, we know You're moving. We know You're working. And we want to thank You for that. And we pray, Father, that if You so choose to do it, that You may do Your work through us. May we be a tool. May we be an instrument of Your grace and Your power and Your message to a lost and dying world. Father, may You continue to raise up missionaries that are willing to go even to places like Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Russia and China, places, Vietnam, Lord, places that are dangerous, especially for Americans, especially for white folk, dangerous places. May You raise up those that would have the courage to go spread the good news around the world, trusting You to protect them. Thank You for those that are there right now, all over the world, preaching the gospel, discipling others. We praise Your name for those soldiers of the cross. Lord, may we be soldiers here. May we be used of You in this place. May You take Your word and use it in our hearts this morning. May You help me to be able to share the teaching of this passage in a way that would speak to all of our hearts. And Lord, we commit our church to You and our missionaries to You and all of the ministries. Some are kind of on a break now, and that's needed and that's good. But may You use us in this valley. But touch our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to begin by reading Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5. Oh, by the way, go back there just for a minute. I didn't want you to be confused on this. This is the title, A Promise of Strength. That's not my arm. You might have wondered about that. But anyhow, Psalm 103, verse 2 to 5. It says this: Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good. And then He says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. See, it's God's desire that as Christians, we will live our lives like the eagle and not like a chicken. That we would live free, soaring like the eagle does above the circumstances of life and the problems of life. But I'm afraid so often what happens in our lives as Christians, that we're not living like the eagle above it all, but we're living more like chickens, scratching around in the muck. In the dirt, the dirtiness of our world. And some of that dirt has gotten on us, causing us to not be able to fly, to rise above it all. But what do we do when we get dirty? the same thing we do when we're at home and we get dirty working in the yard. We go in and wash up. And so what happens when we're clucking around in the dirt of this world and find ourselves there? And as a result, we've gotten a little dirty. What do? Well, we go to the one who can wash us clean. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad even after He saves us and cleans us and forgives us and all of that, and then we get a little dirty in the world as we're kind of doing our thing down here, that we can go to His laver, to His wash basin, which is His blood, and we can wash in it, and He can cleanse us anew? Well, that's what He does. I want to read a story. It's the eagle story. Listen to this story. Someone once told the story about a wounded eaglet that was rescued by a kind farmer. He found the bird in one of his fields, and so he took the bird home, tended to his wounds, and then placed him outside in the barnyard to recover. Strangely enough, the young eaglet soon adapted to the habits of all the barnyard chickens. He learned to walk and cluck like them. He learned to drink from a trough and peck the dirt from food, and for many years he peacefully resigned himself to this new life on the ground. But then one day one of the farmer's friends spotted the eagle and asked, "Why in the world is that bird acting like a chicken?" The farmer told him what had happened, yet the man could hardly accept the situation. "It's just not right," said the friend. "The Creator made that bird to soar in the heavens, not to be a scavenger in the barnyard." So he picked up the unsuspecting eagle, climbed onto a nearby fence post, and tossed him into the air. But the confused bird just fell back to the earth and scurried off in search of his feathered friends. Undaunted, the man then grabbed the eagle and climbed to the top of the barn. As he heaved him off the roof, the bird made a few half-hearted squawks and flapped his wings a little bit before falling into a bale of hay. After shaking his head a few times, the eagle then made himself comfortable and began mindlessly pecking at the pieces of straw. The friend went home that night, so dejected he could barely sleep as he remembered the sight of those powerful talons caked with barnyard mud. He couldn't bear the thought, so the very next day he headed back to the farm for another try. This time, he carried the eagle to the top of a nearby mountain where the sky unfolded in a limitless horizon. He looked into the eagle's eyes and he cried out, "Don't you understand? You weren't made to live as a chicken. Why would you want to stay down here when you are born for the sky?" As the man held the confused bird aloft, he made sure the eagle was facing into the brilliant light of the setting sun. Then he powerfully heaved the bird into the sky, and this time the eagle opened its wings, looked at the sun, caught the updrift rising from the valley, and disappeared into the clouds of heaven. Don't you know we too were born for the sky? The Lord has called us to live in the heights. Yet too many of us have huddled together in the barnyard of life, overwhelmed with depression and discouragement and disappointment and spiritual fatigue. And we feel broken and bitter and lifeless and tempted just to bail out and throw the towel in and just give up. "There's nothing wrong with feeling weary," says Charles Swindoll. "But there is everything wrong with abandoning ship in the midst of the fight." Listen, we all get tired and weary, and sometimes feel like maybe, "Well, let's just quit. This is too hard." But at times like that, we need strengthened. We need to be renewed. And that renewal and that strength only comes from the one who can give it, and that's God. And maybe that's you this morning. You have come feeling spiritually and emotionally drained. Let me tell you, then this message is for you. This promise that we're looking at is for all of those who find themselves weary and weak and fatigued and maybe are tempted just to throw in the towel. This promise is your promise. Dr. Ed Young said, the promises of God can be likened to a three-legged stool. To claim the promises of God, you must first understand it, that is leg one. And then you must, after you understand it, you must believe it to be true. That's leg number two. And then you must act upon it. It's not enough just to understand it. It's not even enough just to believe it to be true. But then you've got to step out in faith and act upon that promise. See, you first must understand the promises of God. I read, somebody said, and I don't know who did it, and I was sure wasn't going to take the time to verify it. If you want it, you can. But they're saying there's over 8,000 promises in the Word of God. But let me tell you this, all of those promises aren't for you and are for me. Some of them are for a nation. Some of them are for specific individuals at specific times. And so you must understand the promise. And the only way you can understand the promise is to understand it within the context. One of the things people really get messed up on in life is they pull promises out of the Word of God, out of their context. Because you can take any promise out of any context and apply it to anything you want, if you're going to do that. But that's not the way you do it. You take the promise, you consider it within the context that's going on. Then decide if it's for you, if you can claim it or not claim it. There's something else related to the promise of God you always got to keep in mind. Promises are either conditional or unconditional. And so some promises, when you look at it and then you study it within the context and figure out exactly what it says within the context, then you must ask yourself, is this for me or not? And if you determine it is for the church, it is for the believer in Christ, I can claim this legitimately, then you must ask, is it conditional or unconditional? Because most promises in God's Word is given to you and me, most of them, as far as I understand it, are conditional. But often we want to just claim the promise, but we're not following the conditions laid out for the promise. You know the promise, all things work together for good, and so we run around and claim that left and right as Christians, but we forget it's conditional. It's conditional on loving God. It's conditional on being called according to His purposes, not yours. What does that say? I'm loving God and seeking to follow His will and live for Him. Then God says, I will take all things and work them for your good and my glory. But some Christians, they just do their own thing and, you know, not loving God and not following His will and get in a mess, and then they want to step out and claim it and wonder why nothing, you know, gets better. We've got to understand those couple of things. And so the promise of strength that's given that we're going to look at is found in Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. So it says this, beginning with verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's God's promise to those who know Him, for you and me. See, what we have here is God's antidote to spiritual burnout. God's antidote to fatigue, spiritual fatigue. Do you ever think, was there ever time, do you think there was ever time where God almost had spiritual burnout? I don't think so. That's our problem. That's what we face. And sometimes that does happen. If you claim, if you understand, believe, and activate this promise, you will never, ever have spiritual burnout in your life. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12, and he gets this all list of all this stuff going on in his life and all the beatings he had and all the shipwrecks he were in, and he talks about being weak. And he talks about being anxious. He was anxious over all of the concerns of the church. He says all of that. He lists. He was tired, fatigued. And then in chapter 12, he says this, "But it's in my weakness that I'm strong. It's because of my weakness I am much stronger." That's what he talks about. In our text here, we see two points. Just point number one. A key principle. There's a key principle when it comes to claiming God's promises in this passage. And this key principle is found in verse 28. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." When it comes to claiming the promises of God, it's not about how much faith you have, as some say and teach. For Jesus says, all it takes to activate the promises of God is the faith the size of a mustard seed. And that's not the smallest seed in the whole world, but it's the smallest seed in that place in Palestine. He says, that's all it takes. He says, if you have that much faith, you can move a mountain. And the point is that. That's all it takes to claim the promises of God. See, it's not about your faith. It's all about the object of your faith. It's not about you. It's all about Him. It's always about Him. The problem with the teaching where it's all about how much faith you have is that then that means everything's pointing this way, right? When everything should point that way. The question, is He trustworthy? Is He trustworthy? See, in verse 28, it says four things about God. It says He's the everlasting God, the creator of the earth, and will never, ever grow weak or weary, and He knows and understands everything. Because God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and eternal, that means that nothing is ever out of His control, that nothing ever surprises or confuses Him, and that He will never become so tired and so preoccupied with running stuff, running the universe, that He will fail to pay attention to you. Know this, when you feel tired, oppressed, frustrated, stressed out, or guilty, the one who orders the stars around, that guy, has His arms around you and will always, because He's truthful, He's dependable, He's trustworthy, keep His promises. Always. Dr. R.C. Sproul said this, quote, "The greatest need in people's lives today is to discover the true identity of God. If believers really understood the character and the personality and the nature of God, it would revolutionize their lives." For a promise, listen, for a promise is only as good as the one who made it. And we're talking about the promises of Almighty God given to you and me. Those who belong to Him. Take time to study God in the Bible. Well, that brings us to our second main point. The promise of God. Now watch this. The promise of God, according to verses 29 to 31, is only for those who are weak. This promise, given in Isaiah, is only for those who are weak and know it. For those who are weak and who know it. Both are true. He gives power to who? The strong, the self-confident, the faint. And to him who has no might, he exercises strength. Even youths are going to faint and become weary. They might go at it a little longer than you, some others, like me, because of our age, or physical abilities. They're going to get tired. And young men shall fall exhausted. See, we all get tired and weary and stressed out and discouraged, don't we? We've all been there. We've all faced that in our lives. And you want to know something? According to this passage, that's okay. Because that's exactly where God wants us. Because God knows this. He knows that you and I will never turn to Him until we come to the end of our own resources and strength. We will never turn to Him until we realize we have no more to give, no more strength left. See, God says to all those who are without strength, I will help you if you will just learn to wait on me. If you would just learn to turn to me, I will help you. And that's what Paul learned back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and 12. He was anxious. He was fatigued. He was weak because of all of the persecution and problems that he had in life. I mean, I could read a few. You think you got it tough? List his stuff and then list yours and see how they compare. Listen to what he says. He says, are they servants of Christ? Verse 23, I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman here with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received beatings with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift on the sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, and dangers from robbers, and dangers with people, and dangers from the Gentiles, and dangers in the city, and dangers in the wilderness, and at sea, and from false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, and often without food, and cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there's the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Then he says this, verse 29, who is weak? Am I not weak? Am I not weary? Am I not on the verge of spiritually burning out? Who is made to fall and I'm not indignant, he says. And then he says in verse 12, verse 9, for my strength is made perfect in my weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power and the strength of Christ may rest on me. Paul understood that. That's what this verse is talking about here. The question is, how do we receive this strength in time of need? How does that happen? Verse 31, the first part says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. The phrase, they who wait, speaks of a continual action. It speaks of those who are in the habit of waiting on the Lord. So we need to develop the habit of waiting so that we won't be caught spiritually unprepared when stuff does happen. See, the Hebrew word translated wait there could also be translated hope, so it could say they who hope in the Lord. It could be translated trust. So though they who trust in the Lord shall be strengthened. It means to have confidence in or dependence on. So, but they who have dependence on the Lord shall renew their strength. For those who have confidence in the Lord shall renew their strength. Faith in the Lord shall renew their strength. It's also interesting to know that the original meaning of this particular word translated trust, hope, wait, that Hebrew word, meant at one time to twist, bind, or to stretch to become strong. It's also interesting, it's interesting to know that, because that gives us a glimpse on the how-to part here. The noun form of this word is often translated, or used to be translated this way, as a line or a rope. So I'm talking about twisting something around something else so it becomes stronger. So what does it mean to wait? Well, it's an active word. We think it's a stationary word, a just sit there and do nothing word. No, no, that's not what it means. Here's the application. Waiting on God means that I take my tired, weak, stressed out little strand of life and wrap it around the steel cable of His life and character. And when I do that by faith, my little, weak, stressed out life becomes as strong as His. And if it becomes as strong as His, you're not going to burn out spiritually. And so that's what we need to do. We need to spend time waiting on Him. But what do we do sometimes when stuff gets tough? Or we get too busy? Instead of needing Him more because we're getting too busy, we seek Him less. We're too busy. We don't have time to spend time with Him in our stressed out, busy lives. And then we wonder why we are so messed up and so discouraged or so spiritually and emotionally tired and drained. It's because we didn't take the time to wait on Him, to receive His strength when we needed it. Notice what will happen when by faith you wait on Him. It says here, shall renew their strength. My strength shall be renewed. Literally, that phrase can be translated this way, to exchange strength. I exchange my weakness for His strength as I wrap myself around Him. Hampton Keithley III. Sounds pretty impressive, don't it? Maybe I should put William Dayton the cook. I thought of that when I was reading it. Sounds pretty impressive. He said this, focusing on our God and the many truths of the Word is like weaving and twisting threads into a rope. It develops courage and strength and endurance as we do that. And so when we face times, tough times, busy times, stressful times, times where we feel fatigued, what do we need to do? Wait on the Lord. Trust in Him. Wrap our tired little strands of life around His amazing cable of character and strength. Well, when we choose to do that and get in the habit of living our lives that way, three things will happen. And He gives it in verse 31, the second part. Number one, they will mount up with wings like eagles. Number two, they shall run and not be weary. And number three, they shall walk and not faint. Altogether, generally speaking, this says, as we wait on the Lord, we will be able to cope with life. As we face the stuff of life, we will face it with His strength, His power, His wisdom. And we all face stuff, don't we? We do. We will mount up with wings like eagles. That says to me that we'll be able to live above the circumstances of life as we are totally depending on Him. And as we do that, you know what will happen? We'll be able to see things from His perspective. Our problem is we only see things from our perspective, down here. But once we get up there, we look down, we can see all these things from an eternal perspective. Mount up with wings like eagles. We will run and not be weary. You need to understand that this is not talking about physical strength. It's not talking about physical fatigue. Because as we live, and as we serve, and as we work, and as we raise families, and as we do all of that, we're going to get tired. Period. So it's not talking about that. Sometimes we feel very exhausted because of what's going on in life. This says that we will be given the spiritual inner strength to run the race set out before us. Yes, you may get tired as you serve, but you will never get tired of serving. There's a difference. You may get tired in your service, in your work, in your serving God and your family, and you just, man, oh man, when the end of the week comes, you're just tired. Yeah. But you'll never get tired of serving. You may get tired of witnessing, but you'll never get tired of witnessing. You may get tired in your serving and in your worshiping and in your praying, and you're just exhausted because it was one of those weeks. But you'll never get tired of worship, of praying, of serving God. I thought of it like this. You may get tired as a mom. What mom here never felt exhausted when the end of the day, you know, and you were just getting ready to flop into bed and then it all started over at night? Exhausted. But you'll never get tired of being a mom. But you'll be tired. And that is true. I get tired from studying. But I've never been tired of it. There's a difference. There may be times when you need that break. You need that getaway. You need to go on vacation or whatever. And you need that physically to restore your motor. But you're not tired of it. See, that's what he's saying in that second one. We will run and not be weary there. The third one, he says, we will walk and not faint. Over and over in the Bible, the Christian life is described as a walk. I'm so glad for that. I'm so glad that we're not running all the time. But most of the time, we're just walking, just plodding along. Walking with the Lord. Walking with Him day in and day out. Week in and week out. Just walking. See, I believe this is speaking about everyday life. God will give us the strength we need for the everyday responsibilities of life. Someone said, you just keep on getting up and doing what is right, necessary, and needed. You just keep on doing what is right, necessary, and needed as you wait on Him to give you the strength to do that. See, He enables you just to stay the course. He enables you to face the everyday issues of life, and you face them in His strength and in His power. See, I believe it's talking about being faithful when things become more difficult. And I have found out that as I, little by little, get a little older and a little older, that things become a little more difficult. You get tired a little bit faster. I used to mow the lawn and then go out and shoot baskets. Now I just mow the lawn. But it is His strength that helps you just to put one step, one foot in front of the other, just to keep going. It is His strength that enables you to keep going even when it's difficult. It's His strength that keeps you going even when nobody knows about it. It's His strength that keeps you going when it seems like nobody even cares. And you just keep going. You just keep walking with God. You just keep serving God. You just keep praying and working. Each step might get a little slower. That's true. But because you know Him, He's the one who knows about it all. He cares about it all. That's Him, the one you wait on. So take time every day to snuggle up close to Him and be renewed on the inner man. Fly above the circumstances of life. Run the race in His strength. And walk and not faint. Not give up until He takes you home, no matter what it might be. Father, we thank You for this promise. We thank You for the promise that when You saved us and then asked us to serve You, that You didn't leave us alone to do it by ourselves on our own strength. But Father, You understand when our physical bodies get tired and we feel stressed out, that we can tap into Your wisdom, Your strength, if we just wait on You, trust in You, depend on You. Help us, Lord, to do it faithfully, continually. And if life gets really busy, and there's a lot more irons in the fire than we seem to be able to handle, help us to know that we need to be with You even more and not less. Help us to see that, understand that truth. So, Lord, I just pray that You would take the truths of this promise and help us as we walk with You and serve You this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.